All right, this is the return of the Miami Heat Index Heatcast with Alfredo Arteaga from HeatFreak.com. My name is Mosi Platt, back from a little vacation. How you been, Alfredo?
Good, good.
All right, so we're back from vacation, or I'm back from vacation. We're back on the Heatcast, and the Miami Heat are back in the free agency a year after the summer of 2010. So, Alfredo, after this season, right after the draft, we did a Heatcast talking about what the team needed in free agency. And now that we are roughly 4 hours into it, how do you think they did fulfilling those needs?
Incomplete so far, I would say. For some reason, I was told very early on of what their priorities were. And it was clear that their priorities were going to be to keep Mario Chalmers at a good price, to keep James Jones, which surprised the hell out of me, because I kept being told at the end of last season and even at the beginning of last season that last year was going to be his last year here, because he was likely to get, you know, a big chunk of the mid-level exemption somewhere else. One name I was told was New York, that D'Antoni really liked them and that he was going to fit that system over there. But evidently, that was going to be their priority in this offseason. They wanted to keep him. And then I was told something curious, that they were going to investigate Grant Hill and Shane Battier. They really liked Tayshaun Prince, but they didn't think that they could afford him. Oddly enough, they thought that they couldn't afford Battier, and they wanted Grant Hill anyway, and they thought that they could get Grant Hill on the minimum. And evidently, you know, Grant Hill, you know, didn't care very much for that, because today he signed a $6.5 million deal for 1 year.
Well, it's good to have your agent be the team president.
Yeah. You know, so that surprised me. And I put two and two together, and I thought that that was going to be some type of backup plan in case they lost James Jones, which I thought they were going to lose. You know, because I kept being, I was told that they really thought that they were going to lose James Jones, because they did not want to go much farther than mini mid level, and they were willing to give years, but they weren't willing to give much more than the veteran minimum. And evidently, that's what he signed for. He got 3 years, and if you add up, if you add in the buyout he got before last, you know, it's a good deal. He did a good job by opting out this offseason. He gained 3 years out of it. I'm pretty sure if he put himself out there, he would have gotten a better deal. But evidently, he really wanted to stay here. But the final thing that I was told was they wanted a big man, and their choice was Samuel Dalembert. It was evident early on that Dalembert was not going to have any of that, you know, 20 for 4 type of talk. He wanted a real deal, and he started putting out there that he wanted something like 40 for 4, and that Houston would give it to him. And I hypothesized that, you know, that it was all BS, that he didn't have a suitor. And so far, you have Houston trying to trade for Paul Gasol, and you have Houston negotiating with Nene. So I kind of doubt that they were going to give Dalembert that much money. And today he's saying that he has a suitor in Denver, Toronto, and a few other teams, that Indiana he mentioned. So evidently he wants the money, so that's not going to happen.
Well,
so we're stuck looking for that center and waiting for amnesty cuts, if they happen.
Right. All right, well, here's what I'll say. There's a couple different ways to go. We'll save the amnesty talk for last. I think in terms of, all right, well, you know, on the podcast we had after the draft, we said they needed to address center, and they needed a backup guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck Battier, because he doesn't address either one of those needs.
No.
I know you wanted to get a swingman on that Heatcast, and you were really talking about Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, yeah, you know, I just think the Battier thing. Everybody knows I have my own personal. I haven't liked Battier since he was a freshman at Duke. So, but that, you know, that is what it is. I just think in the NBA, I think at this point, 2011, he's overrated. I don't think he's going to be the defender that people think he's going to be. Well, two things on that. One, I don't think he's the defender people think he is. And the Heat didn't need perimeter defense. They had it already in spades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not a better shooter than Mike Miller and James Jones.
No, he's not.
And he's 32 years old. I'm sorry, he's 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's ripe for decline.
I don't
get it personally. So, but we'll move on for now. I've been on him all week.
Yeah.
That takes us to the center, which is the first position they actually did address. They addressed it with fat ass Eddie Curry.
Right.
Now let's talk about this, because my first reaction to the signing of Eddie Curry was fire Pat Riley. You tell me. I'm gonna explain that, because you know when I put that out on Twitter, a lot of Heat fans sent me tweets looking at me sideways.
What?
Here's my justification for that. One, I find it very hypocritical that the same fans that call for Eric Spoelstra to be fired are gonna look at me like a disloyal Heat fan. You know, the same fans that wanted Mario Chalmers gone now want to look at me like a disloyal Heat fan. If Chalmers can be questioned, if Spoelstra can be questioned, Pat Riley can be fucking questioned. Especially if the team's biggest need is center and he comes back with fucking Eddie Curry. I don't care if people's like, people want to say, oh, well, that's LeBron James boy, that's Dwayne Wade's boy, they're the ones that picked Eddie Curry. I don't give a fuck, because when the story was out there that Wade, LeBron, and Bosh got together and dictated where they were going by themselves, Pat Riley still got all the credit. So Pat Riley gets all the blame for Eddie Curry. Yeah, I don't care if Dwayne Wade and LeBron said, if you don't sign Eddie Curry, we're walking. Pat should have stood his ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't their idea and it was all Pat's idea, he should be fucking fired. Because if it was Isaiah Thomas, everybody would be laughing their asses off.
Uh-huh.
That's my rant.
Well, here's the thing that I see on Eddie Curry. They pop up every once in a while, every 2 or 3 years, with some guy that they've been watching for a year or more that they think they can redeem. Now, evidently, he's been working out for a year. Now, signing Eddie Curry, everybody already has him in the starting lineup getting 35 minutes a game. If he gets in to one of these preseason games, I'll be interested to see if he does. I think they haven't addressed a rotation guy at center yet, and I think they're in holding mode, and they're probably looking at somebody that we haven't talked about. And as far as Eddie Curry, I think that he's the project guy this year.
I don't think
that they're counting on
him. This is the mistake with Eddie Curry. Isn't Eddie Curry damn near 30 years old?
I think he's 29, I think, something like that, 28.
I'm going to look it up.
I'm not sure. It's been so long since he's played.
Right. I mean, we're talking about an Eddie Curry who couldn't play for the sorry-ass Knicks. Eddie Curry's 29 years old. That ain't no project.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Eddie Curry's been in – he was drafted in 2001. We talking about 10 years of NBA – No. We know who the fuck Eddie Curry is. He's a fat waste of space. He can score. He can't fucking rebound. Guess what the Heat needed last season? They needed rebounds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nah.
But the thing is, I don't think that they're counting on him. I think that they're looking for something else.
But here's the problem. If you're not counting on him, why sign him?
Because you have to have 15 roster spots.
Yeah, why waste one on Eddie Curry?
And he's cheap. But
the money's irrelevant. Whoever they sign is going to get the minimum anyway.
Mm-hmm. Somehow they think, I don't have any evidence of this, but they think that they can redeem him. And it's just because of their past MO. Ike Austin, that type of guy. I don't understand it. And I never understood it when they were working him out. Except that LeBron, and I'm not even sure that this is true either. I know that LeBron kind of knows him. That's what I've heard. Because he's been to a bunch of his camps.
Right.
But I'd be interested to see him in practice to see what he, you know, what he looks like. They say he's, his weight is down. You know, we know he's broke. So maybe he gains a new motivation and he could be a useful player for, you know, for a few minutes. But, you know, I was trying to put a number on the minutes he'll play this year, and, you know, I can't even come up with a number.
Well, see, and this is the other problem, right? Because now, now it's up to Spo.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spo cannot play Eddie Curry.
No.
Spo has, someone has to say, enough is enough. And
yeah,
it's got to be, I guess at this point it has to be Spo. Because you cannot, I can't even stress how bad Eddie Curry is. And so, yeah, it's Spo, there's no way. There's absolutely no way Spo can put him in a game. How is he going to play defense in the Heat
yeah,
system?
I don't understand it either. He's kind of slow-footed. He, when he was a useful player, he was useful as a scorer within 6 feet. He was never a really good rebounder. You know, he did use his body to challenge some shots, but he would end up fouling a lot. So he's really just a body at this point. Now, what they're trying to redeem from him, I don't know. You know, but evidently they have some type of plan. You know, and I kept hearing about it, but, you know, I never gave him much thought because, you know, I thought that he was always going to be, you know, what in football people call camp bodies. You know, guys that you just pick up because, you know, you want to beat on them, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, would he even be useful in that role? You know, that's really Juwan Howard's role, you know. Because the bottom of the roster should always be guys that are useful in practice. And Juwan Howard will be useful the entire year. So that's why I think, you know, his roster spot is well worth it. Because he's really he's the fourth guy in that rotation at power forward. So, you know, Eddie Curry, yeah, I scratched my head. You know, as far as these guys getting their guy in, you know, who knows who their guys are? Last year we were told that Mike Miller was LeBron James' guy.
Right.
You know, and we do know that Udonis, you know, he is Udonis' boy. Chalmers, you know, we were told Wade, you know, really liked him, but, you know, last year all we saw was, you know, Wade screaming at him the entire year.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah. All right, so that takes us to Chalmers. So that's the point guard. Chalmers had to be re-signed, my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, Chalmers is great, had to be done, positive thing.
I'm interested to see how they did that, because Chalmers, I was told that they weren't willing to go very deep for Chalmers. But, you know, he says that he had suitors. I didn't hear anything about that. All I was told is, like, you know, they didn't want to go a dime over, like, you know, 9 for 3, that's the type of deal that they wanted to give him. You know, and that they felt that it was being generous for a guy that just, you know, showed up again, you know, down the stretch and in the playoffs. And evidently, I think that's what he's getting. So I guess he got what he wanted, but nobody in the NBA wanted him. He's a useful guy. You know?
Well, I mean, we don't know that nobody wanted him.
Well, we didn't hear about anybody making a run for him. You know, he just signed on the dotted line the first chance he got. You know, so that's interesting how they got him done.
Well, here's the other question, though, at point guard. I still think they need another body at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you disagree with that. So my position on why they need another body at point guard is, if Mario Chalmers gets hurt or if Norris Cole gets hurt, now what? Are we back to where we were at the beginning of last season, where it's LeBron and Eddie House at the point, and, you know, yeah, the team went 9-8?
That'll be a problem if something like that happened. If they lost both of those guys to injuries, because, you know, one of them has to play 25 to 30 minutes off and on, definitely 25 minutes. So yeah, do they need a third point guard? Yeah, I agree with that. They're gonna have to find somebody. I don't know, you know, we haven't gotten the list of the guys that are coming into camp. You know, I know they made a move. They inquired about Julian Stone, but there's no way I don't think how Julian Stone gets his way down here. Why? You know, although he can be offered a roster spot, you know, on the spot. I think if he shows up to camp, I think he's given that last roster spot. But I think he gets to play in the NBA. You know, why would you want the 15th spot on this team when you get to play somewhere else?
Oh, I don't know if he gets to play. I'm not sure about that. I mean,
there's plenty of bad teams that can use him. He was a guy that was being talked about as a surefire second round pick.
Right. But that doesn't guarantee playing time. And since he didn't get drafted, I don't know that he's guaranteed a spot to play. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know where he would play at.
But it'll be interesting. I haven't heard about anything about him showing up down here. I know that he's highly sought after. I think there was a report where there was like 6 teams that wanted him. I knew that one of them was the Heat. So I don't know how that turns out. They like this kid, Malcolm Gladness. I think you remember him last year from the Summer League. Tall, lanky.
No.
Decent rebounder, but he's about 6'10". You know, tall, lanky, decent rebounder, but, you know, he's a camp body. But they liked him enough last year for him to make the final cut. So we'll see about him. I don't know about Jarvis Bernardo, if he's going to make it down here. I know he was in France.
Right.
So we got to see what this roster looks like, you know, in the next day or so.
All right. So just to finish it up. So we both agree they need another guard behind Chalmers. We agree Chalmers is going to start. You think 30 minutes for Chalmers?
30 minutes, like 30 minutes when there isn't a back-to-back. Other than that, you know, he's going to have to get his numbers down to 20 to 25. Chalmers? And then have to play Norris Cole.
Oh. Yeah, see, I think it's going to be I don't know. I would like to see Chalmers get north of 30 minutes, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, max out at 35. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think less than 30 is too little for Chalmers. But, yeah, I will give you the back-to-back-to-back. On the nights where there's the one night where there's a back-to-back-to-back, or it's the third game in 3 nights, that's the only game that is acceptable for Spo to play Eddie Curry. He can play him that game. If he plays any other game, Spo's fucked up.
Yeah.
And just one other thing I wanted to add about Eddie Curry is, you know, I use that statistic, wins produced. Eddie Curry was the least productive least productive center in the NBA. That was a free agent center. All right. Centers in front of Eddie Curry: Jason Collins, Dan Gadzirich, Nenad Kristic, Hilton Armstrong, Jamal McGlure, Eric Dampier, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Spencer Hawes. Just trying to give you an idea of how bad Eddie Curry is.
Yeah, no, I know. I remember him. Another piece of news is Eddie House will miss the entire training camp.
Why?
Knee surgery.
Wow.
So he had a procedure. He's still recovering. He'll miss most of the camp.
Well, now you definitely need that third guard. That's
what I'm saying. I'd be interested to see in this roster to see, you know, what is it that they're going to be bringing in here. Yeah.
All right. So then you talked about James Jones. I wrote a piece earlier. I don't have any inside information, but to me, it always seemed to make sense to me to bring James Jones back since he outplayed his old contract, his veteran minimum contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Miami, and they could re-sign him with really no salary cap restrictions because they had his bird rights.
Right.
So it always seemed like a no-brainer he was coming back. Let's talk about Juwan Howard. You say Juwan Howard is good to have as a practice player.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know who's better to have as a practice player? Somebody who can actually play in games, too, which Juwan Howard can no longer do. Juwan Howard is done. You know, Big Shot Ron said it on Twitter. Who would have thunk that Juwan Howard would last in the NBA longer than Brandon Roy?
Yeah. Juwan Howard had his moments, and in that series against the Celtics, you know, but somehow his shot completely left him last year. You know, I'm pretty sure that he's done.
And worse than that, he can't move. He plays defense by fouling.
Yeah.
He makes no attempt to slide his feet to stay in front of his man. Not one attempt.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
So, I mean, we're talking about we could potentially see lineups with fucking Juwan Howard and Eddie Curry.
If we see Juwan Howard and Eddie Curry together, we're up by 35. So, it'll make for a good laugh for the fans.
I don't think they can hold on to the lead. I mean, like, last year, the Heat went into Toronto and played the Scrubs and, you know, got the second seed. You can't do that with Eddie Curry and Juwan Howard as your Scrubs.
No.
They lose that game.
Well, last year, Juwan Howard got big in that spot.
Right. I just I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know why he can't shoot anymore.
I don't understand why he's still on the team. It's another waste of a roster spot. Like, I'd much rather see Jarvis Renato have his roster spot.
Yeah, but I gotta figure out, you know, what's the issue with Renato and his French team. You know, I don't know how that works.
Buy him out. Hey. Mickey's got plenty of money. I don't care. Buy him out. I don't know. Here's the other issue. So there's one spot left on the roster. I think we agree it has to be a big man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's do it this way. Who do you wish they fill that last spot with?
Now, here's the thing. Here's a scenario that can play out. It was speculated on ESPN Insider that Omeka Okafor could find his way onto the amnesty list. If he gets onto the amnesty list, I think our the waiver order has us somewhere around 15 or 16. Or I think it's 16. I think the last time I checked, we're at 16th in the waiver order. If he doesn't get claimed, we get a chance to claim him. That's the beauty of it. Then we get to negotiate with him. He could keep his contract. He could sign for the vet minimum with us.
Here's the question.
Would he get claimed? I think he gets claimed immediately. Right. So that's the dream scenario. Other than that, I don't know who is out there as far as a big man. All we see is Samuel Dellenberg begging for money all over the place. And he's going to every bad team that he can find. So we'll see how that shakes out. But any move for Samuel Dellenberg, I think, would have to include Mike Miller. And today, by the Sacramento Kings renouncing his rights, that absolutely killed that idea. So we can't do that anymore.
Oh, you mean in terms of the sign and trade?
Yeah, we can't do that anymore. Then by renouncing his rights, that's over with. If we wanted to make a move with Mike Miller for Samuel Dellenberg, we missed our window.
Well, this is why I don't understand signing fucking Shane Battier. Why did Battier get signed before Dellenberg?
Right. They used most of it. They used most of the mid-level exemption, which is interesting. You know, hold on one second.
Sure. All right, so you had some thoughts on using the mini mid-level on Battier instead of Dellenberg.
Yeah, I was surprised by it because, you know, I was told, first of all, let me say that this year was very strange in the sense that, the Heat is usually very, very tight-lipped. But last year, the year where they were supposed to be tight-lipped, everybody was gossiping. And there was plenty of information out there. All you got to do was just ask anybody that was even remotely connected, and they were going to give you something. This year, everything was really cloak and dagger. And I was told, you know, it was a bold-faced lie, but I was told that they would not dig into the mid-level exemption for Battier. That they were handing out veteran minimum contracts, and that was it. And that they wanted Grant Hill. They thought they could get him for a veteran minimum contract. And that the reason they didn't think they were going to get a Battier if Hill fell through was because Battier wanted more and was going to get more. Well, they ended up giving him exactly what they had to give him. Did he give us a discount? Yeah, but they did dig into the mid-level exemption. So I find it interesting, you know, that they did go through with that. They wanted a swing guy and they ended up getting, you know, one of the guys that they targeted.
Let me ask you this about the... Do you think this whole fascination with Batty would have existed if Nicky Harrison wasn't CEO? And for those who don't know, the reason why I say that is because Nicky Arison worked on Krzyzewski's coaching staff at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And he works with Krzyzewski as part of Team USA. So I think he's from Duke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. And so he went to school there. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting theory. And, yeah, I would agree with you. But I do know that Riley, for the last couple of years, has been fantasizing about Tayshaun Prince. You know, and he has, you know, and he did, you know, did put out feelers for Grant Hill. And Grant Hill, you know, he is from Duke. So this has been rolling for a year and a half, this extra swingman concept. And they finally did it. You know, initially when they did it, I thought that one of these guys were going to go, or that James Jones had found a suitor somewhere else. But evidently they want them all.
All right, makes no sense. All right, so with the last spot, you hope they use it on. Well, you hope somehow magically they get a Mecca Okafor.
Well, that's like the, you know, the dream scenario.
Right.
Can it happen? I doubt it does, because he gets exposed. You know, somebody's gonna claim him. The guy's really, really useful.
Right.
You know, he was terrible down the stretch last year, but he was good overall. You know, and he's kind of perfect for our system. He does rebound.
He does.
He's challenge shots.
He's a productive player.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at this point for the last spot. I mean, it's D'Alembert bust. I'll be honest. If Riley doesn't come back with D'Alembert, he failed in free agency. He absolutely failed.
And that was the top prize. That's what he won. And he didn't get it.
And so the way I look at it is, clearly, you know, you heard Wade talking about when he got back to Miami that he didn't expect any big moves in free agency. It's going to be really quiet. I took that to mean that he didn't really give a fuck about free agency this year, which I don't blame him, because there are no real game changers out there. I mean, the Heat can win despite the garbage they picked up in free agency in Battier and Curry. It's really, I don't want to say it's meaningless. It's virtually meaningless. I think it's going to have little impact on the team. In the playoffs. It's really just regular season fodder. But still, you know, I don't know who fed these writers before free agency started. Maybe they did. Nobody fed them. Maybe they were just hyped up themselves. But they all were talking all this trash, especially Israel Gutierrez, about what Pat Riley was going to come back with. And if all he comes back with is Battier, Curry, and some scrub for the last spot, well, hey. I'm just saying. It is what it is. All right.
Yeah, but that market is barren out there. You know, like, you know, what's the alternative to Samuel D'Alembert? Trying to convince Joel Prisbill, of all people, to try to come back? And he can't move from here to there.
Well, that's because he can't walk. But he still might be Eddie Curry in a race. So.
Yeah. You know, but the market is dead. There's nothing out there.
I agree. I don't disagree with that. So then the one other thing is there's a lot of talk about Chris Bosh coming back with more muscle on his frame. And NBA TV even reported that he added 25 pounds.
That's not true.
Yeah, I think that's kind of hard to believe.
he added 10 pounds is what I'm told.
Okay.
And, yeah, he is more defined and his flexibility tests were all fine. They were better than last year, in fact, I'm told. So, yeah, he's fine.
All right, so here's the question. If they don't get a center, do they need a center for the final spot on the roster if the rotation at center is going to be Bosh, Pittman, and the Warden?
Well, if Pittman, you know, that's the thing. That's what we don't know. Dexter Pittman came in great shape this year, okay? I don't know his weight, but, you know, somebody who's pretty good at that tells me that he's somewhere around 272, 275. You know, after camp, he's going to be around 268, which is going to be perfect. If he's a good player this year, we don't need a center. You know, we already had him on the roster. The thing is, to count on a second-year player, you know, it's kind of risky. But that's enough. You know, who are we going to face that we're going to need him against the Knicks? the Knicks are going to be so bad on the perimeter that it's not going to matter that their front line is okay.
Well, we got to keep in mind that the goal coming into free agency was to find a starting center,
right?
Not to settle for a backup center.
Mm-hmm.
And something less than that in the form of Eddie Curry.
Right.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, I thought, you know, it'd be a good season for Dexter Pittman if he got around 500 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in a position where he may have to play more than that.
I know he wants to play more than that. I don't know if he can.
Well, of course he wants to play more than that.
Yeah. But
when Eddie Curry flames out, they could be in a position where Spo's going to have to play Dexter Pittman for more than 500 minutes in a shortened season.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's the thing. You know, the market's so barren that... Well, they drafted Dexter Pittman for a reason. They evidently like him. For what little I've seen of him, and as far as D-League tape or, you know, the little run that he had last year, the guy can score. And he can rebound a little bit, but he fouls a lot.
Right.
You know, I don't see, judging off of what I've seen, I don't see how he stays on the court in an NBA game.
This is another issue. All right, let's go around the league a little bit then. So we talked about the Heat. We know where they're at. Let's talk about their competition. So you mentioned the Knicks. New front line with Tyson Chandler joining Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony. A couple things here. First, there was a debate on Twitter that whether or not the Knicks had the best front line in the NBA. Where do you stand on that?
On paper, they look spectacular.
Best in the league?
Who's better? Let me see.
Because I'll tell you right now, if the Knicks had Dallenberg, if the Heat had Dallenberg, I'd pick the Heat front line as the best front line in the league.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But they don't. So without Dallenberg.
I'm a big fan of Camby, so right. I like Camby and LaMarcus Aldridge.
And Jared Wallace.
Right, so yeah.
I would say Portland is one. The Grizzlies with Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, and Mark Gasol.
Looking forward, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin is pretty good.
Yeah, but they got no small forward, though.
No. Well, they added the corpse of Caron Butler.
Exactly. So they're out. The other front line that I think is better than the Bulls, and people are going to disagree with it, is the Bulls.
The Bulls, I don't like Boozer.
I'd take Dang, Boozer, and Noah. I'd take that over Chandler, Amari, and...
I really like Noah. I really like Dang. I don't like Boozer.
Boozer's 2010, man. People don't like it, but he is.
He's a stat filler, man, but the guy can't defend me, man.
Neither can Stoudemire.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But he channels his shots. He gets up.
Oh, please.
No, he looks imposing around the basket. He'll challenge a shot or two.
I know.
When he feels like it.
Because he flexes. For every shot he challenges, Boozer will take a charge. It evens out.
That's true. Yeah, I got you. I think it's a horrific move, by the way.
What is that?
Adding Tyson Chandler, using the last salary slot on Tyson Chandler.
Well, we'll see. If they still get Chris Paul, we'll see.
There's no way they can get Chris Paul.
Nothing's impossible in the NBA.
They're going to have to trade Melo for Chris Paul.
Nothing's impossible in the NBA. If they end up with Chris Paul, Melo, Amari, and Chandler, it's a problem.
Chris Paul's not playing for $3 million.
We'll see. I'm just saying.
I'll bet anything you want on that.
I'm not saying he'll play for $3 million, but I'm saying that we don't know that he'd have to settle for $3
million. That's all they're going to have. As soon as they do this, that's all they're going to have.
We'll see. All I'm saying is this. If I told you 2 days ago that Chris Paul was going to be involved in a three-team trade and the league was going to veto it, would you have believed me?
If you told me that David Stern would do it, yeah, I'd believe you. Because David Stern is capable of almost anything. And, yeah, I understand this trade. I looked at the trade, and the trade looked fine on paper, you know? Although it's obvious who's winning the trade. But, yeah, we were arguing on Twitter today about it. And my argument is that, you know, he's the commissioner. And I think he did this because he can. If you notice, the deal's going to go through. You know, the deal's going to get done. And what they're going to do is they're going to make, you know, the Lakers throw in some type of sweetener. Maybe they throw in a, I don't know what, they throw in a pick or and they take back a bad contract or something. You know, the real fool in this was Houston.
Why?
Because they're getting back Pau Gasol ready to come into his decline, and he's not going to be happy. They jettison all of their assets, although they're not really assets at all, but, you know, they jettison everything that they had as far as, like, you know, to trade out and clear cap space. They had a shot to add Nene. He's younger.
They were going to do both. They were going to trade for Gasol and sign Nene.
If they do that, then it makes much more sense.
But I think even if they don't, I mean, Pau Gasol is a big upgrade over Scola.
Yeah, he is.
And, you know, Kevin Martin's worthless, in my opinion.
Yeah. But he's a trade asset, though.
Nah. Who's the other player that they traded?
Dragic and...
And then a draft pick.
And a draft pick.
Right. The pick from the Knicks.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's a beneficial trade for everybody.
Well, I don't know for everybody. I think, you know, clearly New Orleans gets screwed. I mean,
yeah, they're losing a good player, but they're going to lose them anyway.
Right, but I mean, you know, people can say they got three starters, but that team's going nowhere with Kevin Martin and Luis Scola and Goran Dragic. That team's not going to the playoffs with those three starters.
And Lamar Odom.
Yeah, I forgot about Odom.
They're getting Odom. They still have Ariza. They have some useful players.
Yeah, Ariza's a bum. Yeah, maybe. Well, still not a player.
They have a really good coach. I really like their coach.
I can't tell.
Monty Williams is a pretty decent coach, I think.
Yeah, I can't tell yet. All right, so those are two of the... So we talked about the Knicks. Well, here's the other question about the Knicks. What do you see them doing since they if they haven't already? I believe they did use the amnesty clause on Chauncey Billups' contract.
The rumor is that they're going to do it.
Okay.
But the deal hasn't happened yet. Tyson Chandler hasn't gone through yet. They need somebody to take Turi off their hands.
Right.
For nothing.
Right.
And they've been at it for 2 days. So they haven't so far. Once Turiaf goes away, then Chandler comes in. Yeah. And simultaneously, Chauncey Billups has to go out on an amnesty. Because you know, nobody wants any part of him in a sign and trade.
Right.
So,
yeah, you know. I mean, Tyson Chandler's already said it's a done deal. Well, granted, he's gotten in trouble with that before in his career, but...
What's interesting is what was reported that they had offered Amari for Chris Paul.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
I don't believe it either. If they did, talk about destroying your reputation.
Yeah, I don't think they did. But what do you think? Where do you think the Knicks stand with that front line, plus Landry Fields, who's good? Or productive, I guess is a better way to put it. But no point guard.
They'll have Tony Douglas. I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's a front-line point guard.
Yeah, he's not a starter.
No. The team looks better for the regular season. They're going to be exciting. I don't see how it gets them over the Bulls or over the Celtics. You know, when you're going to be at such a deficit on the perimeter, how can you compete? You know, and it's not enough to say that, you know, because Tyson Chandler's not the type of guy that they're just going to dump it in there. You know, and people say, well, you know, Amari's never played with a center. The one time he played with a center was with Shaq, and he was really, really productive. Well, that's Shaq. Tyson Chandler ain't Shaq.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, offensively, they'll be fine. It's D'Antoni. They got Stoudemire. They got Melo. They'll be fine offensively. And I think defensively they'll be better. I mean, you know, Chandler's an upgrade over Toriyah, who was getting the bulk of the minutes at center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they'll be improved. It's just they you know, it's a big hole at point guard.
Yeah. Are they a 4 seed maybe?
No.
Yeah.
You think so?
Depends on what they add.
I gotta look at. Well, we know the top three are Heat, Bulls, Celtics.
Right. Okay. And that ain't going to change.
Right.
And then you had last year Orlando and Atlanta right there hugging that spot. You got to figure that Orlando's on the way down. Atlanta's probably steady around the 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, well, if Orlando drops, Atlanta fills the void to go to 4.
Yeah, but I think Philadelphia's going to improve.
How are they going to improve? Evan Turner?
A year older.
That's a hell of an improvement.
If they can improve 5 games, it might be enough to get them close to 5.
5 games is no small jump.
No, it's not.
You're talking about Evan Turner, basically. I mean, he would have to more than double his productivity to pick them up another 5 wins by himself.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess we could say Jrue Holiday will improve.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Thad Young blossoms? Doesn't leave?
Yeah, I think he is who he is. I think his big year was last year. I think he's going to stay at that level from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they pick up any gains there. I don't know.
They'd be smart to make a play for Nene or somebody like that.
Yeah, they already got one short big man in Elton Brand.
Yeah.
I think that, Nene's better than Spencer Hall, so I guess an upgrade is an upgrade. But I just don't see Philly as being better than Atlanta. So I can't pick them to finish higher than Atlanta in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to see it to believe it first. There's no team in the Central. Yeah, I guess it comes down to Atlanta and the Knicks.
Yeah, you got to figure that if Indiana makes a move, they'll be a little bit improved, but not enough.
You said Indiana?
Yeah, Indiana will be improved.
Yeah, I don't think they will be. Because I think they were able to pick up some games last year for the rest of their division being so weak. And I don't think the division is going to be that weak again. I mean, if Bogut stays healthy, you know, that's 2 more losses for the Pacers right there. I think the Pistons, I don't know. They lost McGrady. I don't know. But Cleveland, at the very least, will be better.
Yeah, well, they have to be.
Right. So, I don't know. I think the Pacers benefited from their division being so weak last year. I don't think they're going to have that same benefit next season.
Yeah, no, the Eastern Conference is pretty shitty.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same 3 teams. We might be facing the Knicks in the second round this time.
Well, they still have to upset somebody without home court advantage. I don't see that.
Right.
I don't see them beating Atlanta in a 7-game series. Not with what they have right now. I just don't see it.
Now, Horford versus Stoudemire will make for a nice series. But, yeah, they'll be at a deficit. I really like Teague. I really like that kid, right. Teague from Georgia Tech.
Right.
Nice player.
He will eat Douglas alive.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's why I look at the Knicks and they're at a severe disadvantage in the perimeter.
Until they get Chris
Paul. And I'm including Melo in there. Melo can't defend anybody.
Until they get Chris Paul. They get Chris Paul, the team looks perfect.
Yeah, things change. Once they get Chris Paul, if they get Chris Paul, things change.
And that's the part that we didn't talk about. So, I always thought Chris Paul was going to New York because he allegedly made the toast at Carmelo Anthony's wedding.
Right.
So now at the point where the trade is done to the Lakers, and let's say Chris Paul didn't have anything to do with it, right? It was what the Hornets decided to do with him. So he could still go back to Melo, like, man, I really wanted to play in New York, but, you know, they fucking traded me to the Lakers. And then after he lives out there for a while, you know, I kind of like living in L.A., Melo. You know, you got a house out here. You know, it is what it is. I'm sorry. He has some kind of, like, plausible deniability.
Right.
But then once he threatens to sue the league for vetoing trade, well, then it becomes clear that he really wanted to be there.
Yeah, I think you got to transport yourself into Chris Paul's shoes. And I'm thinking that what he's thinking is, you know what? Remember, these guys have big egos, okay? And they all think that they can win the finals if they get moved to the the right situation. He thinks he can tame Kobe, and that with Andrew Bynum and with, you know, whatever's left of Ron Artest, that's enough. With him, that's enough to win the West and challenge the
Heat. No, I get all that. That's not the question, though. The question is, what does he say to Melo after he makes it clear how badly he wanted to be in L.A.?
What does he say to Melo?
Yeah, this is after he made – I don't know about you. I mean, if somebody made a promise to you at your wedding, wouldn't you take that pretty seriously?
Yeah. No, but I think – you know what he can tell him? He can tell him, look, your guys just blew all your cap space on Tyson Chandler. That was supposed to be my money. you know, you could blame it on management.
Yeah, but, you know, then, you know, Mel's going to come back. We only went after Tyson Chandler because, you know, you were going to L.A.
Yeah, they could go back and forth with that one, you know.
I mean, if I'm Melo.
The ultimate betrayal would have been if he had gone to Boston. But he shot it down. He said, I won't sign an extension there.
Right.
That would have been an ultimate betrayal.
Right.
You know, because that would have brought brand new life to those old farts in Boston. And maybe extended the window 1 year.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, old is old.
You got to think about it. All of those guys are coming off the books. They would have been left with a roster of Chris Paul and Paul Pierce.
Yeah, which is that you're not going anywhere with that.
Yeah, but it would have been pretty attractive to throw a big pile of cash at Dwight Howard and say, let's go win some championships.
Nah, see, this is the thing that people, this is the mistake people make. People think Boston is a free agent destination. It's not. It never has been.
No.
You know, they get people via trades. They've never gone out and landed a big free agent.
No, they haven't.
You know, who's the big free agent in Boston history?
I can't think of one.
This is what I'm saying. So it's not a free agent destination. They swindle people with trades. No free agent is going to go there willingly. All right, so we're running out of time. I wanted to hit up a few more teams. We just finished talking about the Celtics. We talked about the Knicks. We talked about the Lakers. What about the Bulls?
It looks like they're going to sign Richard Hamilton.
Right. This is after the rumor that they were going to do a signing trade with Jamal Crawford.
Right, which is ridiculous. I knew that wasn't going to happen. Jamal Crawford's going to get a decent contract somewhere.
Well, I was going to say, we don't really know what's going to happen, whether it's going to be Crawford or Hamilton.
Yeah, but it's looking like Hamilton.
I know, but an hour before Hamilton got waived, it was really looking like Jamal Crawford.
Right.
Like, I mean, the beat writer even tweeted that they just pulled Keith Bogans out of practice.
Interesting.
As if he was going to be, I mean, this was before the Hamilton news came down. As if, you know, they pulled Bogans out of practice, as if he was just about to be announced that he was involved in the signing trade with Jamal Crawford. So, I don't know. But what do you think? Let me put the question to you this way. Is there anything the Bulls could do that would be of concern to the Heat at two guard?
At two guard? J.R. Smith, maybe.
Really? You think J.R. Smith would be a threat to the Heat?
He can score, and I think he'll fall in line behind Derrick Rose.
No,
I don't think you have to run many plays for him.
I get all that, but he doesn't mean that he's not a threat to Dwayne Wade.
No, he's not. You know, but who is, really?
I agree. I mean, all right, put it this way. I don't see J.R. Smith making Dwayne Wade work.
No.
I think Dwayne Wade can still take plays off guarding J.R. Smith because Smith is like the spotter behind the three-point line so much.
Mm-hmm. But I think Richard Hamilton is absolutely done.
Oh, definitely. He's done. So he's no threat. Jamal Crawford also done. No threat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's living off of name recognition at this point.
Jason Richardson makes a little sense.
Yeah, but you saw the Heat games versus Orlando. He's also done. Or not, yeah. He's not. I don't say he's done. He's no threat to Dwayne Wade at all.
No.
I mean, Wade doesn't even bother
guarding him. Nobody really is, if you think about it.
No, that's true. But, I mean, Chicago, all you really want is somebody that makes Dwayne Wade work so that he can't leave, so that he can't just leave his man and double Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Or, more importantly, someone like I was watching Game 4 yesterday when they were replaying on NBA TV, even somebody that makes him so that Dwayne Wade can't double off the inbounds pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was wrecking them in the fourth quarter by feeling comfortable leaving the man that was inbounding the ball because he knew that person was no offensive threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, just, they need someone that can occupy Dwayne Wade's attention. Doesn't have to be someone that can, you know, match Dwayne Wade bucket for bucket. Just someone to occupy his attention. And I don't think Rip Hamilton is it.
I mean, I heard something interesting, you know, a while back, which was, you know, they really had the ammunition to go get a Dwight Howard. If you're the Bulls, do you make that move? Do you at least attempt it?
If you can make it, you have to try. But I was
would you empty out the entire roster minus Derrick Rose for Dwight Howard?
I don't know if you empty out the entire thing. I mean, do you give up Noser and Boozer? Noah and Boozer for Howard? Yes. But you got to keep Dang. You know, you can't give up Dang in a trade for Howard.
But I think the Bulls, you know, the market's full for, you know, for what they need. They just need a slight upgrade, which is basically anything over Bogans. The Bogans did play really, really good defense last year.
Yeah, see, I don't think they need a slight upgrade. I think they need a big upgrade at two guard.
Well, they need scoring. They have issues scoring.
Right.
You know, so Jason Richardson can help them. You know, we're thinking about a series against the Heat. You know, they have to get back into a series against the Heat. So they got to fix those scoring deficiencies. So I think Jason Richardson will do the trick for them. You know, although I really like J.R. Smith for that.
Right. Okay.
You know, and I kind of like them if they can keep Bogans, bring J.R. Smith off the bench.
Oh, hell no. You can't bring J.R. Smith off the bench behind Keith Bogans. Bogans is terrible, man. Bogans is lucky to have a job. I don't even know how Bogans is starting. To me, I mean, if you want any indictment at Thibodeau, it's that he started Keith Bogans last season. Bogans was on his way out the league.
But he fouls good.
So, I mean, that's great if you're Jason Collins fouling Dwight Howard. It's not so great if, you know, you're fouling 75% free throw shooters.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Two more teams. And these are potential finals opponents. Let's start with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that they re-signed Daquan Cook, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment.
Yeah, I thought he was on his way out the league after that last contract. Any free agent thoughts there? They're not gonna keep Nate Robinson. Let me ask you this: what do you think they need to do to improve their team?
Maybe a veteran presence. Somebody that can sound things off of Kevin Durant. They don't need much. I think that they're ready made. Remember, they should be on the improve. And I'd like to see those two centers. I know you don't like Nazi Muhammad. I do. You know.
No. I have nothing against Nazi, but Nazi's old at this point, so.
Yeah. But I think he's useful. I think he's still. I take him in a second on the Heat.
As a BMC, he's not. Well, my problem, my thing with the Thunder is that they don't have a starting center.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me put it this way: they don't have they need to improve their center position. Put it that way.
Well, let's look at it like this: Kendrick Perkins, you know, was coming off of a knee injury. They say it takes always a year and a half to recover from ACL surgery. Let's see how he plays this year. You know, if he returns to form, to his Celtic form, I think that they're fine. You know, him and Nazi Muhammad, I think that's a nice combination. You know, so let's give him a chance. I know he didn't look, he looked awful last year.
Right.
But let's see if he returns to form. You know, he is coming off of a pretty severe injury. You know, and he didn't even get a year. He got, 6 months? Because he got hurt in the finals.
Right.
So, yeah, he got 6 months to get back into shape off of a knee injury. There's no way he was going to do that. So, you know, now he's had plenty of time. Let's see how he looks this year. If he returns to form, they got it solved.
Well, then they got one other problem. Because if Kendrick Perkins is going to be your center, then you still have the problem of, you know, they need a third. They need a third star.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if they're going to ride with Perkins at the center spot, which of course they're going to do, like you said, then it's all on James Harden. James Harden has to become that third star.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he
can? Yeah.
I'm not sure he can do that.
No, I don't see it either.
I see the potential. I just don't know if he will, put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know their cap situation, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to trade out. You know, it's a guy that you could buy low, and I don't think you're even buying low anymore. I think you're buying, you know, medium right now, is David West. Do you like him for there?
No, he's done.
You think he's done?
Yeah, he's done. I mean, he's coming off an ACL. No, you can't. The team that signs David West, the team that pays David West eight figures is a fool.
Do you think he's going to ask for that much money?
Oh, yes. if he can get it. Now, whether he'll get it is another issue, but if he can get it, why not? So, yeah.
Oh, it's looking like Rip Hamilton will be a pull.
Okay. Now, the one thing that would worry me about the Thunder is if James Harden ended up on the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Not this season, of course, but, you know, when he becomes a free agent.
Right.
That would,
that would make a lot of sense.
Yes. That would be concerning, though.
Yes, it would.
Because he would occupy Wade's attention. So.
Yes. That would, yeah, I agree with that. But then, you know, then you're going to have Boozer beginning his decline.
Maybe. I don't even know when Harden becomes. I don't know if it's 1 year or 2 years for Harden to become a free agent. All right.
He's a free agent at the end of the season, as far as I remember.
Okay. Well, Boozer won't decline that quickly. All right, so then let's end it talking about the defending. Ah, fuck it. Let's end it talking about the Mavs. I can't bear calling them champs. So Mark Cuban did this, what only the most callous of owners do, and he decided to blow up. Well, I didn't say blow up. He decided to take a significant chunk out of his championship roster. No Tyson Chandler. Looks like no Deshaun Stevenson, no J.J. Barea.
Well, no Deshaun Stevenson is a plus. So you can replace him with anybody.
I disagree with that.
I don't think, but would you pay that guy?
My point,
he's going to ask for somewhere around $4 or $5 million, which translated to tax terms is somewhere around $8 million.
Yeah, but they paid him already.
And would you commit $8 million a year for that guy?
He already they paid him already. They were in the luxury tax last year.
Yeah, but would you continue doing it?
He won you a title.
I don't think he won me a title. I think Dirk won me a title. No, and Jason Terry won me a title. And Tyson Chandler won me a title. That's where I don't understand what they did.
Yeah, you're forgetting all those threes that Sean Stevenson hit.
Yeah, he had a few. He had a good final series.
Yeah, he hit more than a few. He hit a lot of threes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he shot a really high percentage. Like, he had a really good finals.
So,
but
I mean,
that Caron Butler wasn't going to come back, and judging by what the Clippers gave him, yeah, there was no way he was going to come back. But I don't understand how they didn't try to can Haywood and pay Tyson Chandler. But evidently, you know, they decided they don't want to repeat. They don't even want to make an attempt at repeating.
That's good. Yeah, I don't know. I think everything they did is a bad move. I mean,
I agree.
Cuban made his bed with those bums when he signed them the first time, so you can't refuse to lay down with
them again. They want Deron Williams is who they want. And Deron Williams made some noise about wanting to go there.
Yep, Deron Williams also said there was a 90% chance he was re-signing with the Nets.
Yeah, you know, but everybody says a lot of things. But we do know that that's who they want. That's who Mark Cuban wants. Mark Cuban wanted to start tearing down the team and starting over with a second star next to Dirk.
Yeah, but see, my thing is, you know, if you're going to chase titles, you got to chase them.
Yeah, and I don't have any problems with what they're doing, but I would have kept Tyson Chandler. That, to me, is the deal breaker, and that's what, you know, if I had to give out a grade, it's an F- because of that. You know, you wanted to repeat, I think you had to keep Tyson Chandler and tinker with the rest, but keep Tyson Chandler. I thought he was an essential. I think he's essential personnel.
I agree. Yeah. I mean,
on the Heat, if you look at the Heat, what's essential personnel on the Heat? It's the big three. It's Chalmers. It's Hazel. Is that it, pretty much?
I mean, I like Chalmers. I don't know if I lump him in as when you say essential, to me, that means they should be untouchable.
Yeah, like they're necessary.
No, I mean like as in if somebody called you with an offer, you wouldn't trade him.
Oh, I'd trade him.
Yeah, so that's why I don't know if I'd call Chalmers essential.
Just the big three and UD.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd lump in Tyson Chandler and their group. You know, you need that guy. And, you know, I think they disqualified themselves right there. So we know they're not repeating.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a tough shot doing it anyway, but...
But it would have been a realistic shot.
No, you're right.
Especially since, you know, I know that the deal got vetoed, but it's going to happen. you know, Chris Paul's going to be there. So the Lakers front line is going to be severely weakened. So Dallas, I don't think, was going to have much of a – they play a lot of zones. So.
That's if the Lakers don't get Dwight Howard.
Right. You know, but I don't think that's going to happen. We saw, you know, this stink that they got caused, you know, there's no way they're going to allow Dwight Howard to get over there. They'll create something.
I'm just saying.
If they have to rig it for Dwight Howard to show up in New Jersey, they'll do it.
We'll see. I mean, what's the difference of Dwight Howard playing with Darren Williams or playing with Chris Paul?
That Kobe Bryant's over there. And that he wears a Laker jersey. And you know what? Do you think that Dwight Howard wants to play in Los Angeles? Do you think he wants to follow in Shaq's footsteps?
Yeah, he took Shaq's nickname.
Or he wants to blaze his own path?
He took Shaq's nickname. Blazing his own path went out the window a long time ago.
But you don't think that it's, you know, it's kind of sexy going to Brooklyn, wearing the Brooklyn uniform with Deron Williams?
No, this is the biggest,
and overtaking the Knicks?
This is the biggest fallacy in sports. This fallacy that Brooklyn is a sexy place to be. Brooklyn sucks, okay? If you have to be, all right, I live in New York. Brooklyn will never, ever surpass Manhattan. Ever. Brooklyn is like, what can I compare it to that you would understand? It's like, it would be like someone in Palm Beach County saying that they live a better life than the people further south. That's what comparing Brooklyn to Manhattan is like. It's comparing Palm Beach County to Dade County.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere close.
So that whole plan of supplanting the Knicks as New York's team
would never happen.
Never happen.
Never happen. They could go 82-0, and the Knicks could go 0-82, and they'll still be the more popular team in New York City.
Even though we all know that the Jets, the New York Jets in the NFL, are the stepchild to the New York Giants, but we noticed when the Jets were competing for AFC championships these last 2 years, a kind of shift. You don't think that would occur in basketball?
No, because I'm telling you. You know what?
The uniform is too powerful.
It's not even the uniform. It's just, it's everything. It's the lifestyle in Brooklyn is different. Like, Brooklyn is just the little brother that wants to prove that it's grown up and it can compete with the big brother now. It can't. It's always going to be the little brother.
Mm-hmm.
The annoying little brother. That's all Brooklyn is. I mean, Brooklyn is... It's just Brooklyn can't escape Manhattan shadow, and it never will. The whole point of moving the Nets there was Brooklyn trying to prove that it can compete with Manhattan. It's a pipe dream. It's physically impossible. It's economically impossible. It can't happen. There's too much against it.
Yeah. By the way, somebody has to read this quote to Shaq on the TNT broadcast. Amari was asked about Tyson Chandler, and he says, "It's going to be great. I've never played with a real center before in my career."
Fair enough.
That's going to be interesting.
Hey, Shaq was done in Phoenix.
He played good, though. He played good down the stretch in Phoenix.
That 1 year. The 1 year he played good, it looked to me like he didn't give a fuck.
Amari never played any better. I'll tell you that right now.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far.
He was like 30-10 almost every night.
No. He's not a rebounder. So he was never getting 10. To me, Amari never looked better, but the year before he blew his he wrecked his knee. I think it was 2005, that season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the season they were comparing him to Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, so to me, that was his best season, but. All right. We've gone over an hour, Alfredo. Oh, you know what we got to do? Damn, I forgot. I almost forgot with all the NBA talk back. Well, we got to do NFL picks. Oh, man, I completely forgot about that. All right. So, I don't even remember what you did last week with the picks.
I had an awful week last week. I tried to pick the Giants to upset the Packers. I came close.
Right.
But close was not good enough.
So, what were you, 2-3 last week?
Yeah, something like that. 2-3 or 2-4, something like that. Okay. Had an awful week. Lost to a Hail Mary against the Chiefs.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's terrible. The Bulls are terrible. All right, so real quick. So we first game up, you have Mike Miller's Minnesota Vikings going to Detroit. the Lions are favored by 10.
That line's ridiculous, but Detroit will win the game. They'll right the ship this week.
Okay.
And they're getting healthier, so.
All right. Next, we got a little training camp trash-talking battle with Norris Cole's Eagles going to Miami to play Udonis Haslem, Eddie House, and James Jones Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 3.
The Dolphins are hot as hell, and not only are they winning, but they're killing people. And the Eagles are in full-blown meltdown mode. But Michael Vick is coming back. It's not going to matter. It's his first game back. The Dolphins eke out a win. Their defense is really, really good. It's finally playing the way everybody thought it would play.
Okay. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons go to Carolina to play Mario Chalmers Panthers. The Falcons are favored by 3.
The Falcons are pointing toward the playoffs. They'll beat Carolina, and especially after that interview. I don't know if you saw it. Cam Newton's interview this week?
No, I didn't see it.
Well, he made some, you know, he's sometimes misunderstood. You know, it's hard to misunderstand what he said in this, but, you know, I could tell that, you know, he didn't really mean what he was saying. He said that he has to get the rest of the team playing on his level, that they're not there yet, but he's going to have to drag them along. And, you know, he used some language that, you know, he reminded me of the scene with Jamie Foxx in Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, he's going to face a pretty good team here in Atlanta. Atlanta's going to beat him.
Okay.
He'll still play great. You know, he's the runaway rookie of the year.
That's interesting. Let's just give you a heads up. The AccuScore for ESPN Insider picks the Panthers to win by 2.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
Next up, we have Dwayne Wade's Bears going to Denver to get Tebowed.
And they're going to get Tebowed. Calhoun is awful. Matt Forte is also out.
All right.
You know, I don't see how the Bears can score. The Broncos have a really, really good, you know, defense. And their offense alone, you know, they don't turn it over and they control the clock. So you're reducing the possessions for an offense that's terrible. So I don't see how the Bears can win. So Denver wins.
Okay. Next up, the Oakland Raiders travel to Green Bay to play Dexter Pittman's Packers. The Packers are favored by 11.
Oakland got murdered by Miami last week, but that was to be expected. West Coast team traveling east for a 1 o'clock game. It usually works out that way. One team was hot, the other team was injured. So, you know, don't read too much into how bad the Raiders got beat. But this is the Packers. And I don't see anybody beating them anytime. They won't cover, but they'll beat Oakland. It'll be a close game.
Really?
Yeah.
AccuScore has them winning by 12.
They won't. Oakland can run the ball. And Green Bay can't defend the run. So, not that they can't defend the run, is that they get run on.
Okay.
You know, their defense is not all that great. Oakland will be fine in this game. They'll be in this game. They'll lose anyway.
Okay. And last but not least, the New York Giants go to Dallas to take on LeBron James and Chris Bosh's Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 3.5.
It's an important game. It's basically lose or go home. So, you know, who steps up in this game? They're almost mirror images. I just take the home team then. The Cowboys win.
Okay. All right, Alfredo, it's good to be back. We got 6 football picks. We got 60 minutes of NBA free agency talk. I think it was a pretty good heat cast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.